This week's episode has no paid subscribers, so you could be the one by going to thedadpodcast.com and just picking one of the links on the right-hand side. For $24 a year, you could change our lives. Or better than that, make three people subscribe to the show. Spread the word and make us grow. Enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast, episode number 139. We are here again. Paco is sober. Paco is enjoying a late breakfast. And is that like milk or a smoothie? What's your situation?
It's just milk.
Very exciting show. We got a lot to get to. There's a chance. I heard tale. I don't know if we'll be able to fit it in time-wise, but I was chatting while I do the pre-show music for our live listeners. Uh-huh. And evidently, Sober Sam is listening on his school's Wi-Fi.
Oh, good.
So, with his gang of friends that I believe he calls the Jesus Fuck Bunch. So I don't know. I feel like if there was a whack pack for podcasting,
that would be
it is to have a parenting podcast with a 17-year-old that listens with a group of friends that has quite possibly the most offensive name. Remember when it was just the gang or the guys?
Right,
now everything is escalated. It's Jesus. Jesus. I couldn't. Even worse is if I'm mispronouncing it in any way, shape, or form. But let's get to some fantastic mail. Natalie's going to be joining us. She's inside cleaning the house as a woman should be. And we have a sketch that I wrote in nothing short of 20 minutes. I can't wait to hear Paco, the writer's feedback on my comedic writings. But we've got a couple of messages, so let's get to those first.
You've got mail.
What's this? A letter for me.
Keep those cards and letters coming.
So the big one that I think everybody wants to hear is that you, at the end of last week's episode, you went off on some poor anonymous survey taker about your laugh.
Okay.
And this did not sit well with one listener.
Uh-oh.
And so they...
I'm afraid. Please tell
me. Why would you be afraid?
Well, because I don't know where it falls.
Says, new listener, not sure what the problem is with Paco's laugh, but I'm already sick of hearing him talk about himself. Would love to hear some Cairo Night Fight instead. Now,
wait, hang on. Did George write that?
No, it's not George.
Okay.
Either that or it's a horrible... his name is Fred with a P-H. So it's
okay.
A horrible... It's
hang on. I'm already over it.
You're
carry
off
on.
You're
yeah,
off
no,
hook.
Carry on.
Now, to be fair, Fred didn't name himself. here's some old complimentary emails, because I feel like, you know, coming off of you getting
yes,
was
that the end of
laugh,
that email? By
that was
the
end. It was just
okay.
A quick one.
I thought there was more.
No. I want to build you back up.
Okay, I still think it might be George, but go on.
It'd be really great if it was. What if he's pranking our show? He's the Baba Booey equivalent.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's just coming up with if he is coming up with fake email accounts to send into this show.
Specifically to request that we play more Cairo Knife Fight.
Things may be pretty bad for George.
Yes, I think so.
His rock and roll lifestyle may not be all that we think it is.
Exactly.
It says, I wanted to say, run something by y'all and get your thoughts. Maybe, that's a different thing for a different day. I apologize for that one. I messed up. Dear Justin and Paco, I became a father for the first time this year. The entire process, everything, everything but easy. The mother and I are not and never were together. I should probably read these a little bit more in retrospect.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the complimentary.
The mother, here's the thing. I jumped into the show. I jumped into it. There was a great email that was very complimentary of you.
That wasn't it, though.
And now I can't find it. Oh, here it is. Thank you. Hey, guys, I'll figure out the other email later. First, okay. I wanted to add that I think Paco is a great addition to the podcast. I always enjoyed listening to Justin, but I think Paco just makes Justin even better. I have listened for a few years now, off and on, and between yours and Rogan's podcast. I'm a 32-year-old father of two boys and began listening about the time my oldest was 6 months old. I found listening to you was like having an adult interaction or just hanging out with the guys, which as a father, you don't get much. And that's what I think is interesting, is that that really does happen within the lifestyle. You don't get to hang around the guys anymore.
Right.
And I'm not even a guy who, I don't like to go do guy things. So the reason I also wanted to bring this up is that what would be the guy thing? You know, normal guys, they play poker. They go, what do? They go to strip clubs. They go to bars.
Yes.
You have a poker thing that you do with some friends,
I have,
right?
But yeah, I don't think it qualified any of us to be guys. There was nobody involved.
It was like you were playing house? Is that what you're saying? Like,
no, I just
it's like
mean
you're pretending
that we
to be
were
guys?
So far from being guys that just a poker game wasn't going to get us
here's
there.
How, but here's how I – this is what I'm saying. This is the lifestyle. What I think is, is if you have a poker night and it's a bunch of dads, especially stay-at-home dads, and in Los Angeles, let's really hear that you're having some form of a gluten-free candy cigar. You know what I mean? Like – it has to be something.
Yes.
There's an artichoke dip involved of some kind that somebody made that they got from recipes.com. It's not just, you know, Fritos and beer and pretzels, right?
Well,
what beverages? Now, Paco is known for, and I found a recipe for pomegranate martinis.
Oh, you did?
Daddy has everything he needs to make pomegranate martini, except for pomegranate juice.
Okay.
So buckle up. I don't know. There's production involved in the show now.
I understand.
Now that we're twice a week, Daddy's doing a lot of planning.
Right. I didn't know it was essentially you were going to turn into a bartender as well.
Well, St. Patrick's Day is a coming.
That's
and
true.
If you can't do a radio show on St. Patrick's Day without drinking. So
there's a bylaw in the
right
in
podcasting and just audio broadcasting
in general. Broadcasting in general.
But it's at 10 a.m. and I don't know if that's a good idea. I gotta go pick up my kids later. But anyway,
yes.
If that's your drink of choice, do you get beer at your poker night? What do you do?
It's BYO whatever. So there's two people who
BYOW.
Yeah,
right. BYOW.
B-Wow.
B-Yow?
Oh, no.
Oh, here comes
Natalie.
Here she is. Look at her with her cute hat. Come on, right?
She got a whole look.
She did a thing where she didn't want to comb her hair. All right, we're talking poker, so jump in, Natalie. But
there were maybe two out of the five would enjoy a beer, but neither one of them would necessarily enjoy the same beer. So they'd bring a bottle or two extra, you know, they'd be willing to share, but no one would. Everyone
and is
else.
It fair to say they're pussies like me that they will? Here's what I do. I will work in the yard. And I will work up a sweat, and I will enjoy a solid two to three sips of a beer. Like, I will really, really enjoy those first two to three sips.
Yes.
But the idea of finishing a beer to me, like, I will buy a 12-pack, and it'll probably skunk up before it ever gets
down.
Consumed in my house.
No, the guys who brought the beers would drink them. I mean, they wouldn't finish everything they brought necessarily, but there wasn't a bunch of half-empty bottles. So there was beers and soda and coffee. That's what was being consumed.
So it's a coffee.
You know, maybe
some kind of AA meeting.
Yeah. Yes. Two beers, two soda drinkers, and a coffee drinker
that's
is probably
great.
What it amounted to.
That's awesome. Well, here's the other thing, too.
And no one was doing recipes from home. I hate to spoil the illusion, but.
Do those have estrogen, or do you have to already have to, have too much estrogen to drink them, is what the chat room is asking. That's from Jeff. Do all of those beverages have estrogen?
Oh, no, I don't know. I think it was BYOE.
What is this asshole talking about?
Bring your own estrogen.
Irish Car Bomb is in order for 317. So Lori from PA, the do-it-yourselfer, is challenging us to do an Irish Car Bomb. What is that, whiskey dropped in a beer or something?
I don't know. That sounds horrible. I don't know. Look, I won't drink a beer, so you can count me out. Bring me my martinis, my girly martinis, or I'll have another old-fashioned. I tell you what, though.
You like the old-fashioned?
That was fine.
How dare you?
No. I enjoyed it. It was fine. I'd had
you
dinner.
You can laugh on the mic, dear.
It's all right. She hasn't heard anything funny yet.
Yeah.
No, here's what I will say about it, as long as you brought up the drinking, which is that night I slept as I have not slept in a very long time. And I'm like, this is something different. To the point that I fell asleep on my right side, which I never do. And I must have just never moved or something, because I was awakened in the night by a screaming pain in my elbow where I had just jammed myself up and hadn't noticed it until it was
way
too
late.
That's
how men sleep.
Yeah.
They sleep with pain.
Well, it was, yes. Oh. I thought, in my delirium, I thought, this is going to hurt like this for the rest of my life.
I do a morning show in Omaha and, yes. And once a week. So every Wednesday morning during the 7 o'clock hour central time on CD 105.9, you could listen on their app for free. We do a This Week in Bad Parenting because everything in my life has revolved around my parenting, evidently.
Yes.
And the guy there is a big fan of whiskey and bourbon. That's his favorite alcoholic beverage.
Yes.
And I jokingly told him that I had had a cold and I said, you know, I took a couple shots of bourbon just to help keep me from coughing a little bit, because it's essentially, codeine is like an alcohol. It's a downer that, you know, relaxes the nerves. It makes your lungs dead inside so you don't feel the urge to cough.
So it matches the rest of you.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so he goes, yeah, he goes, bourbon fixes a lot. And it's funny because I was like, really? And so I took a couple more shots, you know, like, and then I kind of go, I don't know if he was joking or if he was serious, but listen, I'm on
board.
He
was right.
Yeah, bourbon, unless you wake up with a stabbing feeling.
Yeah.
All right, Natalie, since you're here, the chat room is abuzz beforehand. There was a listener. I think I told you the story about how people were asking if we somehow it came up about watching your lady in the shower, creepy or not.
Somehow
creepy.
It came up. You talk about it a lot.
Listen. Can I help it if my wife is beautiful?
All
right.
Not at all.
So some people were, and here's the thing. We've gotten the email, the internet blew up is the full story, dear. I know you can't listen to the show, but it wasn't.
He broke the internet.
It was like Kim Kardashian pouring an arced stream of champagne on her own buttocks is number one for breaking the internet. And then comes number two, where the dad podcast
creepy,
opens up
creepy.
Pandora's box. Is it creepy or not creepy to watch your wife in the shower? And the people, it was a flurry, is all I could say. Almost broke our email.
Okay.
It almost overwhelmed it because people were weighing in heavily in favor. No one is against. Watch it. Now, almost doctor, as I'm going to call her now, Rachel, says that's creepy. Almost doctor. You know what happens when she gets is that? Maybe that's it. Maybe it's like becoming a Jedi.
Yeah.
The final test, like snatching the pebble from the grasshopper's hand or whatever.
Yeah.
She has to realize it is not creepy to watch your
I see.
And just then also, boom, PhD, you're welcome.
She has to go to the dark side in order to become a Jedi?
The dark side. How dare you? How dare you? The force is strong with this one, I'm telling you. So do you think it's creepy?
I think it's sweet.
Yeah, that's right, you do.
I do. I think it's cute. I think it's a it's a complimentary kind of. Like, they're staring at you and think you're attractive. And for any women that, like, women out there that have issues with their body and the way they see themselves, to have the person that they love admire them for who they are and as it is right now, I think it's like a compliment.
There you go. See, here's what happened. Somebody brought it up in the chat room and it went absolutely bananas with people going, I do it. My wife loves it. Somebody said that that's their only chance to be able to talk uninterrupted.
Well, there's that.
And they like it too.
I need to jump in and say a few things. First of all, I need to let everyone know that she did not appear to be under any duress when she gave that answer. I'm sure there will be some suspicion.
How dare you?
I'm clarifying. I'm backing you
You're
up.
You're making it weird now that I'm pointing a gun at her. It's theater of the mind, right. Paco. They can't see the gun that I'm holding.
Right.
What's even funnier is now I'm holding a mind gun.
Yes.
And pointing it directly at her. Number two is, despite the fact that she has said that it's not creepy, it must be the way you tell it, because it certainly sounds creepy.
No.
Third, I want to just reassure both of you that no matter how much the two participating people say that it's not creepy, it is, in fact, creepy.
Ladies
and gentlemen, thank you.
It is not creepy. Here's the thing. It's only because, I think here's why you think it's creepy, because in the Dooley house, there is a demilitarized zone at the threshold of your bathroom. It is North and South Korea in there. South Korea is the bedroom where everybody can kind of come and go.
Right.
North Korea is that bathroom in there that is a proven sanctuary only for your wife to exist without male pubes, evidently.
Now, the thing that was ultimately revealed in all of this back and forth is that after he'd gone on and been accused of creepiness and so on and so forth, I think the word creepy might have come out of my mouth first, honestly.
Yes. And Rachel's.
Well, yeah, she backed me up, and she is almost a doctor.
That's true.
So that gives a lot of weight.
She would be a doctor.
Okay, but if you're in the kitchen and you're admiring the person that you love fully clothed and like, oh,
Why would you do that? That's creepy.
You're really pretty, or you're really handsome, or whatever. Like, you're admiring them.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you're staring at them.
Yes.
With or without clothes on, with or without water running down your back. It's the same.
Talk slower, please.
thing.
No, I agree. I agree. Here's the thing. I think what people are saying, if I could jump over to the stupid side of
now,
this
now, if
argument,
you're like, oh, she's so pretty, I'm going to put my dick in it.
Then that's a little different. That's creepy.
Well, that's...
But if you're like, oh, okay, you're so beautiful, I love you, that's sweet.
That is how he described it at some points, was the thing. Look, when I... The
that's
thing
my
that...
favorite moment of the show ever. Who's she so pretty, I'm going to put my dick in
it. It came to light that I, in fact, spent no small amount of time in the bathroom while Luna showered and we would be talking or whatever. I'm not using the bathroom. I'm there visiting. But at no point did either one of us enjoy it. And that's where I think the creepiness is coming in. No, I'm joking. You're very sweet. I'm not jumping on you, and you're almost innocent in all of this.
Oh,
I'm sure you aren't. I'm actually a little afraid of you.
See, yeah, that's how it should be.
It's more fun to call it creepy when it's just you.
That's true.
When she's here, too. Yeah. But
is it just me, or is it getting hot in here with all this talk?
He's pumping up the air.
I turned on the silent air conditioner that nobody can hear on the audio show. Here's the fun thing. Speaking of the Omaha thing, and then we'll get in. We got a sketch coming up. I can't forget that.
No.
Oh, I'm so excited. The I do this every once in a while, or every week, like I said, Wednesday on the CD 105.9. And a couple weeks ago, I did a story. Every once in a while, a gem falls into my lap. And I keep stumbling upon this because of just the way I saved it on my laptop. And I was looking through getting ready for today's show. And I was like, why would I not play this on our show? So you may see these popping up now because we're doing an hour-long show, you know, twice a week now.
Yeah.
And the here's the funny thing is, so I do this week in Bad Parenting, and kind of the setup for it is that I say what I do to make myself feel better about the C-plus effort I put into my own kids is I Google other people who are horrible at parenting and have really done a bad thing. Now, I will not recommend any of our listeners doing this because, to be quite honest, you find some really dark and scary shit going on out there that makes you sad to have birthed children. But if you're really in a dark way and you really just go, I am fucking up these kids royally. Nah, just it is like a concentrated dose of Walmart at 2 a.m. if you ever want to feel better about yourself. That's what Googling bad parents in the news will do for you. The Huffington Post has a whole section dedicated to it. It's horrible. But this one is a real, real gem because I found there was a news report.
Yeah.
And this comes to us from the great state of Pennsylvania. And this couple, they were...
The incomparable state.
The incomparable state of Pennsylvania that they tied their daughter into a dog cage in the back seat of a pickup while driving down the road.
Oh, wow.
No, just listen. It
in
gets
the
better.
Bed of a pickup?
Here's the audio for it. Enjoy. Oh, wait. Nope. Hold on. Oh, geez. We're still listening to iTunes music. I felt like my dad was calling me because I think that's the same Creed song he used for his ringtone.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Sorry about that. Here it is.
She wanted to be with her dog.
She hasn't seen her dog in 3 days.
She plays with them in here all the time. They're strapped in.
It is an image taken by a horrified motorist, a little girl, in the back of a pickup truck in a dog cage. These are the people police say are responsible.
Now, if you heard what he just said, this is an image taken by a motorist. Now, this is what I love, too. I just wish that you could, like, if it was a Jimmy Kimmel-esque, like, viral bit,
yes,
is that the person you see I'll put a link to the article up on the Facebook page, but you see the person holding up a camera taking a picture of a little redheaded girl in the dog cage with a dog in the back seat. And I just wanted them, while they're like putting their phone away, to like accidentally pan back to see like two children not in car seats or something in the back of their sedan.
Yeah, what they were doing.
But because they're driving down the road filming this girl. And I don't think it was really on a freeway. I think it was like on a expressway kind of thing, like freeway lights, diet freeway. Here we go.
I didn't think it was that big of a deal. We weren't going fast. We weren't.
Her pet dog was in the back making a fuss.
It was back here. We knew that it was three of us, so we couldn't put the dog inside the cab with us.
So they pulled over and let the little girl climb into the wire pen.
Was she in the cage at any time that the vehicle was being operated on a roadway?
Yes, sir.
And you weren't concerned about maybe something bad happening with her back there?
I guess I was, but with everything going on.
Never occurred to you that, well, the dog's just going to have to deal with it till we get home.
I don't want the dog to suffer. I don't want, that's like animal cruelty to me. You know what I mean? A dog crying like that.
Don't face felony counts of endangering the welfare of a child.
I put two ratchet straps in there like a seatbelt.
But straps or no straps, Carlson and Fischinger now realize this was a big mistake.
Oh, my God, yes. Yeah. Don't ever go in the back of a truck again.
Lesson learned.
She'll never go in the back of a truck again.
Right.
I can tell you that right now. But here, the other thing that we kind of talked about on the Omaha show is that I think is funny about this is that this is something that we all did. You know what I mean? Well, I don't know about you, but I rode.
Not really.
Tons of. The funny thing is about hearing this story for me is that there was a time when we were going camping and my dad's pickup had a camper shell. I wasn't strapped down. Like, remember how he says the ratchet strap? He goes, it's strapped down like a seatbelt. Like,
right, right.
Like, I was in the back with my English Springer Spaniel. And I remember kind of thinking that the windows were open, and it's like I had willed the dog to do so, but we were pulling around, and we were doing maybe 30 miles an hour, and I was like, man, I go, how funny is it that I could, like, fall out of this car? And within a few seconds of me thinking this, my English Springer Spaniel decided to leap from the window.
Wow.
And this is what's sad about our family. The dog was fine. So before start writing your letters, PETA, she kind of did, like,
yeah,
a cartoon.
PETA listens.
A cartoon, like, land on her butt kind of thing, where it's like, burp, burp, like, kind of skidded. And we laughed. We thought it was funny.
Sure.
So I guess what I'm saying is that as funny as I think this was, mostly because nobody got hurt with these, you know, people,
yeah.
But clearly
yeah.
These parents could have been friends with mine, is what I'm saying. Is that we could have hung out together, I feel.
Yes, they kind of could have given lessons.
You all right?
This is without the highball. Could have given them lessons. Thank you.
Exactly.
It was worth it.
Exactly. So I thought that would be fun to share. And then I have some other fun little articles before we get into the sketch. This is going to be so exciting. I don't want to overamp it up. I don't want to, you know, go nuts, but let's see here.
I'm thinking that we may get called to host the Oscars. That's all I'm thinking.
Oh, Sober Sam, if you're listening, the phone system just went down, so I apologize. We can't take phone calls because I just realized, I should check that, and I apologize, but for me to dial it up with everything we got going on would be too much. This is going to go into the same venue and bin, if you would,
yes.
Of watching your loved one shower naked.
Okay.
This is at least 1 in 4 people nap naked. Most of my naps happen when I'm, this is the person writing it, not me, when I'm fully clothed on the couch. Sometimes I even still have my shoes on. I wish I could have the luxury of preparing for one of these people. A new survey found 35% of men and 25% of women like to take naps totally nude. The main reason is people say they just sleep better naked. You hear that, honey?
Mm-hmm.
Are you listening?
Mm-hmm.
So getting nude helps them maximize their nap time. There is some scientific evidence that sleeping naked is good for you. It helps your blood flow easier through your body, which lets you sleep deeper and builds up more energy.
You
could have more energy if you slept nude.
I worry about the creepy crawlies.
The creepy crawlies?
Yeah, that's
her pet name for you.
That's what she calls my junk. Yeah.
What kind of clothes are you wearing in bed that they're constricting you so much that it's affecting your sleep? I don't mean you personally, but I just mean
I don't wear anything
scientifically.
To bed. I'm going to start sleeping naked on the couch too. I'm just going to, whenever I feel myself start to doze off during a fantastic NASCAR race or a football game, I'm just going to pow. I'm going to drop trowel right
peel
there.
Off your pants.
But let's get back to my lovely bride. You are afraid of creepy crawlies. Is
yeah,
that indeed my junk or my hands?
Crotch. No, like some spiders or God only knows what crawling around.
What do you think there's a swamp underneath our sheets?
It just makes me uncomfortable. Like, if I slept with my underwear, that'd be one thing, but no underwear.
I'll tell you what.
Be weird. See, that's creepy.
I am, for the sake of science, honey,
uh-huh.
I am open, all right, to doing this in baby steps. All right? Because
yeah.
Right now, it's a joke on my first album that my wife comes to bed. And this is even in summer. Tell me if I'm doing anything wrong
nope.
here. If I'm speaking out of turn. Even in the summer in Southern California, where at night it reaches a low of 58, 65 degrees, somewhere in that range. That's
right.
The low in the dead of night. We are still in an insulated home, okay?
Right.
Fully
right.
Walls are insulated. Attic has, I think, like 18. It cost me a lot of money to insulate this house. That's
yeah.
what I know. $3,000 worth of insulation, keeping this house warm and temperate.
Mm-hmm.
She will go to sleep with sweatpants on, a tank top, bare minimum, sometimes a long sleeve shirt or a hooded sweatshirt on top of that. Hooded sweatshirt is usually reserved for wintertime.
Yeah.
Wintertime in Los Angeles, which is not real wintertime, I'll have you know.
I like the hood.
Well, I've done away with the hooded sweatshirt. Is the hood but pulled still the up? Tank top, the long sometimes, sleeves, yeah. The socks. Don't forget the socks.
And now, all summer this last year, we recently upgraded. We had to do a quilt on top of the sheet because I would be sweating and dehydrating. I would wake up looking like the Crypt Keeper from the morning because I would be so dehydrated from sweating. Or I could not have covers on at all in the dead of night.
Yeah.
So she went, she had the quilt and a sheet and then a fleece blanket on top of her side of all summer long. All summer long. Again, if we lived at Chicago, all of this, I would be like, yeah, let's get on board. And if you look at the birth dates of our two children, are any of our children born in the wintertime?
I don't think so, no.
No, because here's why. That would mean 9 months prior would be late spring, early summer during the hottest part of the year. We do not touch each other during that time.
Yeah, right.
Because I can't handle it. I will black out from heat stroke. She is in a way like she's like a female human torch in the heat that she gives off. And so, therefore, that's why our children's birthdays are in June and September, because it is sometime they were conceived in the winter time.
Gotcha.
Like some kind of fucked up duck of some kind. But don't you... So now this is a study that was saying that people prefer this. This is as close to science as you could get.
Okay.
It's on the internet, honey. Don't you think that
the closest I'm going to get naked is having my underwear on.
Fair enough.
That's
all right.
There you go.
That was a valiant effort.
No, as you were describing her layers of armor, I was trying to reconcile that with the woman who's happy to have you watch her. Pardon me, I don't mean to talk about you like you're not standing here. I'm going to look at somebody else. I'm going to talk about you. No, you're happy to have, you know, you're fine with him being in there watching you shower naked, but you'll be damned if he's going to see you sleep naked.
Well, she doesn't.
It's not a matter of seeing me. She's worried. My comfort level.
She thinks there are bugs living in our bed.
And right. I like to snuggle. I like to be warm and snuggly.
Furthermore, I just want to suggest. Here's the thing. I would have made this joke if you weren't sitting here, so I'm going to go ahead and make it now. It also occurs to me that it might not be.
I like how uncomfortable Paco is in having my life here.
Well, it's she's come in and we're talking about her nudity and we're talking about all these other things. But
would it make you? We could call your wife and have her talk. How does your wife sleep?
She wears a similar attire, but she's an iceberg all the time.
I feel like women that like to sleep bare naked are like an albino alligator in the wild. You know what I mean? They exist and they're not in small numbers. They're not in danger of being endangered or going extinct by any means, but they are a rare find. Yes,
I think so. I also think she's worried about keeping the bugs in.
What do you mean?
She's holding them in with her clothes.
Oh,
she's worried about them getting loose. It was a dirty person joke.
I don't get it. So.
It's okay.
I feel good That's about good. My mind not being in a gutter. I came out of that one clean.
I don't think I'm coming over Sunday dinner anymore.
I don't even think she got it.
That's okay.
So here's another fun thing that I found on this wonderful service that I like to use. It's called, these are questions.
Yes.
We talked about this. What was the last question? I did this with the episode with my dad where somebody had written in a question saying, you know, am I allowed to tell my son what major they can study in college if I'm paying for it? Because their son evidently wanted to switch over to a philosophy major.
Oh, geez.
And the parent was like, no, that's not going to get you anything.
That's what my brother did.
Is he teaching philosophy?
No, he teaches chess.
Yeah, all right. Well,
even less lucrative.
Oh, really? Okay. Moving on. But this one, which I thought was really interesting, is the babysitter flirts with my husband in front of
me. Wait, what happened to the other one? Are you not going to go talk about the other one?
Well, my dad and I did, but you can weigh in on
it. The college thing? Yeah. Oh, never mind.
No, we can. What did you have opinions on it? You want to share it?
Oh, no, I was just saying, even if the parents are paying for it, it's kind of stupid if they don't allow the kids to do what they want to do. Because
oh,
then
shit, it's
you're
about to get real.
Paying
we may not
for
have
something
time for
that's
going
to blow up in your face.
Hold on a second.
I love it.
Let me
front row seat, ladies and gentlemen.
Ding, ding, ding. now that becomes a regular on the show, we're going to need a boxing bell.
Yeah, there you go.
The But it says, here's what it says. My son will be a sophomore in college next year, and he decided he wants to study philosophy. I think that's a terrible idea. I mean, what exactly is he going to do with a philosophy degree, teach it somewhere, and make no money? So I've been pushing him to change his major. He said it's his life, and he gets to make the decision, but I'm the one paying for his education. Since I pay for my son's college tuition, don't I get a say in what he studies, or is it truly his decision? Now, weirdly enough, in some weird twist of the cosmos, my father and I agree hand in hand. If we
wait,
if
everyone stop moving.
Right? Is everything okay?
The room is spinning.
Everybody all right? Everybody okay? Uh-huh. Your head's all right? Nobody whipped around on that one too hard?
That,
if we are paying for the school...
Yeah,
then,
hang on. I just want to point out that it was after getting me on the show to constantly counter everything you say that you said, you know what I need? I need to get my dad on here. I need to get somebody else in the room without Paco to just agree with everything
just
I
agree.
Say.
Just to make it easier. And you notice those episodes are only an hour long. We go an hour 15 if we really, really agree.
Yeah. All right. So back to you.
But so he said, so here's the thing. So you are saying that even if you and I are paying for our two wonderful sons' college education, we don't have a say in what they're studying?
No.
Like, don't look to me for support. I'm going to hear what she has to say.
You're going to start showering with clothes on. You keep running your mouth like this. This is my goddamn show.
So,
you're a guest on this show.
If they want to go to college, then great. If they say they want to start majoring in, I don't know, let's say med school. They want to go to med school. Okay, we're dishing out the money for them to go to med school. 2 years in, they decide they change their mind. They want to go into theater.
Yeah.
Yeah. You support that.
No, I support that with an invoice for the med school money I've put into it.
Because here's the thing. After they go to college...
Why are we paying for it?
Well, you don't have to pay for it.
Well, that's the idea of this. Here's the thing. If he wants to switch from med school to theater...
Okay, but here's the thing. He already shelled out the dough and said, I will pay for your college. So he can't very well say, okay, I'm going to pay for your college. 2 years in, the kid decides to change their mind. And then the dad says, you're on your own?
Yeah.
That's not cool.
That's called fucking life.
No, the life is.
Yes, you go to, hold on, no. You go to a job. You go to a job, right? And you're doing this job. You don't just all of a sudden decide to go, I don't want to do this job anymore. I would like to do a different job.
No, absolutely you could change your mind on your job because in your job.
But is the company's job to pay for you to do that?
In your job, you are getting exposed to other jobs. No different than when you go to college, you're getting exposed to different people and different majors, right?
Jesus, this is horrible.
So you're learning different things. Your interests could change. The people you hang out with could change. So what, like, you need to support your kid.
I agree wholeheartedly that
if you don't support your kid, that could blow up later.
I'm not saying that we should live in a communist life where it's like you draw a name, you put a sorting hat on, and then that's who decides what you're going to do forever, and you can never change your mind. What I'm saying is that if you are at an employer, right, and you find out, like, this is something I'm interested in, why is it the employer's obligation and responsibility to compensate you for your transition into this new thing?
It's your responsibility to learn that job and to make that transition yourself.
Exactly.
But if you say, hey, I'm interested in this other department, then you should get the support of your managers to change into that different department.
But not financial support. Because here's the thing.
I'm
if our son, let's use
Jake. I think the job thing doesn't work as a good analogy.
I think you should shut your face.
It's similar. It's along the same line. But the bottom line is.
Choose carefully,
Papa.
Start
doing something. And then you find interest or you're exposed to something different and you want to go a different direction, then you have that right, regardless of your age, to go that direction.
But you just said, well, it's been nice having Natalie on the show. I'm guessing this is the last time she's going to be. Damn it, our listeners are funny. No, here's the thing. I think if this was actually happening, and listen, I don't want you to ever, like, I have to say this out loud.
I get the whole point.
I don't want you to ever feel like you can't.
College, you're going to do, I mean... If I'm paying for college, you're going to go to college. What you're going to major in, that's up to you.
Talk into the microphone. If our son is going to med school, which will never happen. But let's say they go to med school and then they decide that they want to switch to Central American Feminine Studies. Okay? You honestly think that the man that you married, right, that built a life to where they could even have an opportunity to go to med school. Now, you included, obviously, built this lifestyle, but I'm just saying, you're going to look across a table at me and go, we got to keep writing those tuition checks? You honestly think that that is the is what should be done.
No, no, no. That's not okay. The question. You said you married this man. The answer isn't whether it should be done. The answer is whether it will be done.
Well, she already knows that answer will be done. But well,
answer of should it be, that's what she's been saying all along. It should be.
No.
She just knows that.
Well. She's saying, because here's what it is. The example that's happening in my wife's brain. This is, I could translate. What's like right. You parrot back whatever I just said to your wife?
Yes.
I know what she's saying here. What she's saying is she would
You're
like.
Excused.
She would like. Patricia said Denver Drew has a mic if Paco gets too mouthy also. I don't know, Denver Drew. You keep it up. It's going to be you and a headset in a butcher shop somewhere. Cutting New York strip steaks and weighing in and just you and me agreeing like my dad. But, no, so here's the thing. What she's saying is that if he goes in with, like, something that is more, I don't know, traditional in a sense, like doctor, lawyer. Yeah, everybody agrees, oh, yes, that would be a great job kind of thing.
Yes.
And then wants to transition to something that is more creative. That's why she used the example of theater because, you know, she danced, you know, when she was younger.
Sure.
And still does it occasionally on every other anniversary, like the Olympics. no, I'm kidding. But that, you know what I mean? That's what I think her thing is that if all of a sudden she realizes that our son, who right now has a passion for painting, and he says, I want to now pursue art. But that's what she's saying is that we should support him in that endeavor. And what I am saying is I agree wholeheartedly that we should say, yes, son, you should do what you want to do. But here's the loophole in the argument already is that we're the screwed up alternate reality we're existing in right now is that we are already paying for college, which will never happen to our children, that our children will pay for their own college education. And so therefore, there isn't really an argument. But to get back to our hypothetical here is that you're saying that if he decides to do art, that we should say, yes, I think that's a great idea. However, I am not going to kick down money for art. You're saying that that's a wrong thing to
do. Right. I'm saying, yes, if you want to change your career to art, then go for it. Because there's so many people, like if you look, and I think I have a soft spot, exactly what you were saying, because I was a dancer.
Right.
And I
because if it is Central American Feminine Studies, you're like, fuck those bitches.
Yeah, that's a little different.
Yeah.
So, but like, because I was a dancer and because I enjoy the arts and things like that, you can get a career in it. You have to work a little bit harder, but you can get a career in that. And then you can do stage managing and you can be a technician. There's other avenues of a job in that same industry. So encourage them to do that.
Yes.
I've seen too many incidences where somebody is like, their family's unsupportive and they're miserable. They're in their 20s, they're in their late teens, they're in their early 20s, and they're absolutely miserable because their parents don't agree, but they want to please their parents. So at the end of the day, like, support them in doing that.
I would support him. I just would not
write
a check.
I would.
Oh, well, look forward
to
this fight.
Well, I better start saving my money.
But you're already saying you're not going to pay anyway.
No, yeah, I'm not supporting the kids.
Okay,
Well,
and that, honestly, I think is a better message.
Yeah.
Because if you're shelling out the money as a parent to pay for the kid for college, they're not going to appreciate it. So if you want to have, like, if they want
to have
their say, exactly. Like, if you're saying I'm
going to
pay for med school and they decide to be an art major, then yeah, I could understand why the parent is like, oh, hell no. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But don't pay for the kid's college. Make the kid work through college. They should, because then they'll appreciate it. And I have to say, I dropped out of college. I paid the $3,000 out of my pocket for a couple semesters. And I'm glad I did that, because I'm the one that fucked that up. And I'm the one that cost myself $3,000. I didn't cost my parents $3,000.
Right.
So,
and that's, and so that, in your case, it's going to be sort of bring you back to more realistic terms, because we're saying, oh, it's a doctor and it's a lawyer.
Yeah.
It's going to be between studying forestry and custodial services.
Yes.
Okay. Those, and then he'll be making the choice between those
things. At a junior college.
At a junior college.
Far away from home.
Okay.
It's good for them to get out.
Right. But would you?
Because we will be circumnavigating the globe in a yacht, but only sticking close to coastlines, because she can't be in open water.
In the case of the example, it's going from useful to philosophy, but you could bring those things closer together, and I wonder what happens if it's not, you know, if it's not doctor versus janitor.
Such a chasm.
Yeah, but or something even more useless than being a janitor. No offense to any janitor.
Like accounting versus business.
Yeah,
something that's a little bit more on the same
line. Here's the thing, but I do agree with the tone of the question in that if I am footing the bill,
yes,
then I have a say in what's going on. But it's only
to the extent of the only thing you have a say in is whether or not you'll continue footing the bill. That's it.
No, I have a say in what's going to happen. And if they do not like that, then they will have to figure it out on their own. Like, here's the thing.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
What I talked about on the show, and I'm kind of repeating it. I apologize to the listeners who've already heard it. But then
no one listens to that.
That's true. My dad did not pay for my school. Now, if I would have come to him and said, here's what I'm trying to do, I would really appreciate if you could help me because I could not qualify for financial aid because my parents made too much money and could technically claim
God
me as a dependent.
Damn them.
Yeah. So now if I came to him and said I'd really like to, you know, make this happen, then I'm sure he would have worked something out for me. But it would have been on his terms. He would have said, here's what's going to happen. You're going to get – so I will pay a certain percentage of the tuition based on whatever grade point. Because my dad, like you said, you have to have skin in the game. Otherwise, if you're just sitting – that's what this kid I think is doing. He's like, I don't have – there's no consequence.
But would he have done it based on what it was you wanted to study?
Because I was going into – I was going into study theater, and he did not initially like it until I'd made a living – an honest living for about 2 to 3 years in entertainment before both my parents were like, fine, okay. But my dad's thing was, you could do whatever you want to do, but here's what you need to know. His thing was, you need to learn to manage your money if you're going to, because you never know when your next check is coming and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But for the sake of buttoning this, because we got to get to the sketch, it's very good. It's very good.
And the next question.
The babysitter flirts with the husband. Now that what's wrong?
I just had one more thing, which is that Luna and I are working at it from a different angle in that we're going to be so poor that they'll qualify for any financial aid they need.
That's the way to do it. Yeah, ruin yourself financially so and destroy any possibility of retirement.
Do you know some people actually get legally separated or legally divorced in order
for
their
brother
kids
and my sister-in-law
tell
were thinking
more.
About
their-
yeah. That's a whole other episode.
Do you have
episode.
Any literature?
That's a whole other episode. Okay.
I don't think this question is going to be nearly as interesting, so I'm just going to lob it out there for us to touch on it real quick. But because I introduced it, is that my husband and I have a 16-year-old babysitter who watches our two kids from time to time. She's a nice girl, but lately she's been annoying me. My husband is 36, same age as me, and very attractive, same as me. Not the comedy. Yeah.
Did you write the email?
The girl totally flirts with him right in front of him. I think he's flattered by it, and obviously I know it's not going to go anywhere, but it still bothers me. Is it stupid to be jealous of a 16-year-old girl? Should we stop having her watch our kids and find someone else to do it?
Yes, stop having her watch your kids. She's
really?
Stupid for ignoring that. Absolutely. Because
a 16-year-old girl?
I know somebody that shit
happened
to. This is
horrible.
Absolutely. Listen.
I know somebody that
happened to. Penthouse
Forum
is full of stories that start this way.
Butcher Drew, I'm sending you a headset. I'm getting it on Amazon right now. Clicking through.
Yeah. No.
A 16-year-old girl. Who cares? Now, 26, very different story.
No.
26-year-old girl, something could legitimately happen.
Have you literally never heard of a guy sleeping with the teenage babysitter?
Yeah. No, but I would love to read this fan fiction.
No. I'm serious. It is a joke, and it's a lot. It's made fun of a lot, but I think where there's smoke, there's fire, and I believe it goes on all the time.
Totally happens, absolutely. And she's a minor, so that's just really scary.
So you would just fire her? You wouldn't say, hey, let's lay off the flirty?
Oh, absolutely not. Because if then you say lay off the flirty, then that gives that crazy little 16-year-old bitch ammo to put something in her head to say, oh, he touched me inappropriately when you weren't here, and then I was raped.
That's what I thought you were going to say, is that if she's interested in the guy in somewhat of a way, then to me that opens up that possibility of it
being
like, get
rid of her ass.
She says, I've touched you, get rid of her ass.
Yep, there's the door.
Here's the good news, Natalie, is that he can't even conceive of banging a 16-year-old. Year old babysitter. So that's
chat room agrees
fantastic...
with you, dear. And you too. Fire her now. Is
yeah.
everybody saying.
Yeah. Kick her ass out. Here's your check, bitch.
Wait, fire the babysitter or your wife?
No, some people are saying fire my wife, but they're joking.
It's a testament to your relationship and your marriage and to his the core of his decency
Justin
he can't even imagine.
Justin is so crazy. Like, people will like, oh, Justin, oh, la, la, la. And I see it. I'll see when, like, girl, or, like, other women.
Oh, no, he's a deviant, but.
And he's totally oblivious to this stuff.
See,
so
she thinks nothing but chicks.
We could have an 18-year-old, a 22-year-old, whatever age you want to put in our house, put that babysitter in there that'll goggle and goo-goo all over Justin, and he will be oblivious. Oh, no, she's just really nice.
No. Remember the hot blonde that I found on the Sitter City,
that
or something
was crazy.
Like that? And she was like, well, she wasn't really crazy, but she just didn't do anything with the kids. And for $17 an hour, you're going to have to fucking dance.
Yeah,
And I don't mean in your thong because you're 26 and hot and blonde. I'm saying dance with the kids, put on a fucking Robin costume and roll around, do a shoulder roll every now and then.
Right. Put on a show.
But Natalie came home. I said, here's the sitter I found. And she was the best reviewed. She had the background checks and everything. All the guys that. Oh, interesting. So she looks and she goes, oh, she's cute. When I saw the picture, I go, no, hold on, time out. I go, seriously, look at the other options. You know
right.
I mean? But it's funny that she worked out to not be so good. But all right, let's get into it. Get your scripts ready.
Okay.
Here we go, everybody.
Here we go.
Buckle up. Oh, it's so exciting.
Page. Mine go- oh, no, it's all no, one there's, page.
No, it's all one same. Page. It's just a quick one. It's just something that I put together. And this is something that is very serious. I put together a little PSA for everybody sees. Now, if you are, of course, all the men.
I understand.
Natalie, you are all the women. If you want to throw in different voices or just use your voice, that's up to you. I don't want to micromanage your creative process. Listen, you do a great – do your chick from Men in Black for one of them if you want, the sugar water chick. That's great. That makes me happy on the inside. All right, everybody ready? Prepare. What was it that Mr. Wentworth would say? Prepare, focus, and begin. Oh, shit. I have a lot
would,
to do.
He would
it's
never,
not.
He would never cuss.
That's true. He never would. He was saying he was a gin drunk. Anyway, here we go. Hi, my name is Justin Worsham, and I am an internet celebrity. I am here today to talk to you about a horrible problem facing parents all over America. It is a silent killer of happiness, an evil destroyer of our daily lives, and the terrorists of parental sanity. Of course, I am talking about daylight savings time. Twice a year, this catastrophic event sneaks up on parents.
There's no warning system in place. They don't even talk about it on the news until the Friday beforehand. What the hell happened to journalistic integrity?
Nailed it. How many toddlers must wake far before they need to? How many parents must feel tricked into thinking they were getting to sleep in when they have actually slept in and now have to do the morning routine in 15 minutes?
My husband and I spent 38 minutes arguing about whether or not we will be gaining an hour or losing an hour. I will never get that hour back.
It is 12 p.m. and my son doesn't know he has to eat lunch. He doesn't know.
You are not alone. Parents all over America are struggling with you.
Daylight what?
That man is from the chrono mecca known as Arizona. Arizona and Hawaii have stepped up and done the right thing, outlawing daylight savings time. It is time to stand up against daylight savings time. It is time to... Fuck, we ran out of music. Son of a bitch. It is time to get our lives, our sanity, and our hours back. There you go.
Nobody would have noticed if you hadn't said anything.
You got to plow through, man.
Yeah.
I try. What? Listen, don't listen. I wrote it. I fucking directed it. I'm tired enough of this bullshit. Right.
We ran out of music or you ran out of music.
I ran out of music. Right. I ran out of music. I'll be fair to say. I tried to time it perfectly.
With no rehearsal, we
but
did
pretty
damn
good.
Here's
when I read it. I'll be honest with you. Maybe it's the narcissist in me, but I kind of sped through your parts a little bit, but you guys really... Fucking melt those.
We had to get the character.
Yes, I gave
Maybe
way too long
cut
a
your
pause
shorter.
In there.
But here's a. I wanted to also throw it out to you guys. Now, Natalie, I kind of know is that we. It's a thing. Somebody says, "Good job, Justin." But that it's a weird thing that daylight savings still exists, and it does nothing but fuck up parents' lives when you have little ones. Does it mess up teenagers at all, or no?
No. They don't care.
They don't care.
They don't care about
They're
anything.
In a constant cocoon phase. Anyway.
Exactly.
Either way, it doesn't matter.
I know the last two. This one wasn't so bad for me, but the previous two, it took me like a week to get over it.
Wow.
To adjust and to stop feeling disoriented and out of it. Maybe.
So it's harder for you than it is the kids?
I think so.
Yeah. So what about you, dear? What do you think of daylight savings time? Don't you hate
it? Yeah, it's annoying. What I like about it now, though, is when I get off work, it's still light outside because then I like to go on a walk.
See, that's what I
got
from
my... I don't like coming home in the dark.
From my elderly mother in New York. She was, you know, on the very day that Luna was going, we lost an hour. That's an hour less of our lives. You know, she's very angry about having lost time. And then I was on with my mom, and she was very excited that she had extra daylight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That it was going to be lighter longer.
Do you guys know why we do daylight savings time?
Oh, yeah. I've been hearing a lot of pieces that it's not what we think it is. And
what
so
do you think
so
it
forth.
Is?
The thing I'd heard more often than not historically had something to do with farmers, but I didn't give it much thought.
Okay.
Much as almost all of America doesn't give farmers much thought.
That's true. What's your theory, dear?
I have no idea.
It's during World War I, in an effort to conserve fuel, Germany began observing daylight savings time on May 1st, 1916. The rest of Europe soon followed. The plan was not adopted in the United States until the Standard Time Act of March 19th, 1918, which established standard time zones and set summer daylight savings time to begin on March 31st, 1918. The idea was unpopular, and Congress abolished daylight savings time after the war, overriding President Woodrow Wilson's veto. Daylight savings time became a local option and was observed in some places, some states, until World War II, when President Franklin Roosevelt instituted year-round daylight savings time, called wartime, on February 9, 1942. It lasted until the last Sunday in September 1945. After 1945, many states and cities east of the Mississippi River and mostly north of the Ohio and Potomac Rivers adopted summer daylight savings time. So it's in an effort to conserve fuel and energy consumption. That's why it still exists today. But part of me, because I heard the farmer thing too, and I'm like, well, not everybody's a farmer now. This is left over from pioneer days, but actually it's
the fact that there's a veto, an argument, and a discussion on this is retarded, to be totally honest with you. Like, that's just annoying. Like, really? You go through all these government channels to have these arguments, vetoes, and God knows how much time. Look how much time you've wasted talking about it. You've lost an hour, gained an hour. You've wasted all those hours.
All right, okay.
Talking about it.
Are you okay? Do you need a hug?
Oh, that's annoying.
Do you need a hug?
No, the whole, the farmer thing. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's perfectly logical. And then veto and blah,
blah,
blah.
Here's what I think we should do. I have absolutely no interest or concern about this. But what we ought to do, the two or three of us, is during the course of the next year, come up with a new, because as you were reading that, I thought, okay, that's the explanation. But I had no idea that any of that was true. And so I'd like just to invent our own reasonable explanation, not farmers, not Nazis, but some new version, and then include as part of it that it disproves the other so that next year we can be on all the radio stations. They'll be quoting our thing on the internet,
so
which
will
be complete hooey.
So we do our own little viral joke kind of thing where we make up some kind of reason.
It could be children related because of the children's schedule and timing of school and blah, blah, blah.
Well, here's the thing. I like what you're going, much like our PSA here that was very serious and very eloquently written.
I think so, too. I was moved.
Is that what we do is instead of being the victim,
I had a single tear fall from my eye.
But that's the Bell's palsy. But the but what I suggest is that we make a more aggressive approach, and that we use it as a way to make our children suffer, and we wallow and enjoy that.
There's
something. But
that
Daddy,
vibe.
It's still light outside.
Get your ass up
to go to bed.
Welcome to daylight savings time, you pussy. You know that kind of stuff. Just good family fun.
Okay.
For everybody.
Yes.
You know, for the Worshams and those white trash people in Pittsburgh. All right, let's do a little moment of the week.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally, they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the Week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to the dadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people. And they give us money if you do it.
We're going to abort Moment of the Week and do Pick a Flick. Moment of the Week is going to be on Friday. Here we go. Pick a Flick.
Oh, my gosh.
Pick a Flick. It's time for Paco and his Pick a Flick. Well, he's been on another movie kick. So listen quick. Is it a hit or shitter? Should you book a sitter, pick a flick? It's time for you to find out just what you should see. But he won't cheer and sing because he hates everything. It's time for Paco's Pick a Flick.
So the reason we're doing this is because, and it's a very good point brought up by Paco, is that both my sons and myself and you have seen Chappie, which was a great movie. Natalie, you did not get to partake. We actually saw it on Friday while Natalie was at work because she did not show an interest in it. It's kind of it's funny because this also is my moment of the week, so I get to double down.
Oh, okay, very good.
Because Chappie, for anybody who has not paid attention to the ratings, is a rated R movie that this fantastic father walked in with his 6 and 3 year old.
You even asked me when you saw the trailer. You were like, "Oh dear, I don't know if we should even take them to that."
No, I
normally
saw,
you weren't concerned with
well,
that.
Well, no, I saw the trailer, which mm-hmm. the trailer makes it seem like, oh, it's a fun kind of action movie with a robot. Like, who wouldn't love that yeah. if you're a kid, especially a boy? Like,
yeah, we called it Short Circuit 30 years ago.
Exactly yeah. right. But this is a really, really, it's a very good movie in my opinion. But there's like a lot of heavy-handed, really deep messages going on in it and stuff. And I checked the rated R, and I talked about it on the show. I think there's a parents preview thing where you can go.
Oh,
and
they
tell you why it's got the rating, so you can kind of decide if it's suitable for your kids.
I've used sites like that before. Often it's tricky. You have to pretty much throw your interest in enjoying the movie under the bus.
Right.
Or have seen it already, in which case you wouldn't need the site.
Right. So one of the things it says is that there's a partial nudity moment in, and I thought the way it was described online was that I thought it was like, I don't know why it's different, but it was live nudity. But in actuality, it was.
Was she in the shower?
No, she was not, unfortunately. So I was barely hard. But anyway, But no, the nudity happens in a, like, it's in the background where one of these, yes. like, bad guys is watching a porno movie when they come in to meet him.
Porno is not even a fair word to use to describe what happens right. in that. It's just a heavyset woman of color seated
oh, really?
Somewhere. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that part.
Uh-oh. Head back.
Oh.
It's the only.
Easter egg. For this Easter season for yeah. this guy.
That's the only one I
was
saw.
Talking about when they go in to see the drug lord yeah. guy, and on the TV in the background, there was a blonde chick and her boobs were out. And it was funny because I was sitting there more uncomfortable about the moaning, and they're like, was happening in the background. And I'm like,
I didn't even notice any of that.
That's so interesting. I didn't even yeah. see the black. I guess I am a racist.
You know what? I was furiously masturbating. So oh, I may have missed why. Some yes. of it.
That's probably true. That's probably true. But what was great is that there's some really heavy action at the end that
yes.
gets really graphic.
Yes.
And there was a guy who looked over at me, I think, and I kind of looked and saw my kids sitting there watching Judging it like you. This. And he kind of just, because I happened to look at Jacob, and in my peripheral, I see him, and he's looking, and he goes, he's just shaking his head. Like disapproval.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, please, because that's what I thought. I was like, please. Please come and tell me that you thought that this was inappropriate for my children to watch
right.
because it would be great content for my show.
Right.
And B, I would love to tell you to go fuck yourself.
Right. This is what he doesn't realize is it's a vacation for those poor children
yeah.
to be at this violent movie.
Right.
From the
it's
the,
two steps they, down from what they get exactly, at home with
exactly.
all the yeah.
It's a relief. Well, you couldn't be more wrong.
What do you mean?
Well,
you,
okay.
you didn't like you didn't like Chappie?
I did not care for Chappie. What?
What?
Was that?
He doesn't like any movies.
But no. he didn't like it. I was going to say the song said he doesn't like
it. Even the song. No.
Are we really expecting this outcome to be any different every oh. week? Like a flick with Paco. I hate it. Dun 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 dun. And moving on. That's it.
Like, that's funny. Oh,
that's
no.
a wrap.
We've got a new, producer.
Oh, killing it, my love. Killing it.
Okay,
loving every
listen,
minute of it.
Diego and Chad had a fantastic time.
Really?
They enjoyed the hell out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't enjoy it as much as they did. I didn't apparently enjoy it as much as you did. But I must start by saying, and careful listeners of the show will recall, that the previous week, in anticipation of seeing Chappie, Chad, the younger one, in case you're not tracking the fictional names of my children, had wanted
She's
to...
She's not listening right no. now. I know that look, yeah. She's, for the last, this, from the minute the theme song ended and she found out you didn't like the movie... that is actual... That's a replay of what Natalie's hearing through her headphones.
Right, that's not a recording.
We isolated yeah. your microphone going into her headphones.
Oh, my God, that's funny. He wanted to see District 9 again. He knew it was the same director, and he wanted to see the original work he had seen by the guy. He's seen all three of the movies now. Chad has. So has Diego. And so we watched as a family, we rewatched District 9. And last week I talked about, I think during my moment of the week or something, this incredible conversation we had as a family afterwards, a movie we had all already seen together, but now having seen it again a couple of years later. And I'd seen District 9 several times in the theater. I mean, I really liked that movie.
What's
a
his
lot.
Third movie? I didn't know there was a third
Elysium
one.
Elysium came
that's
out
right.
between.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which Chad kept insisting, and I kept going, yeah, yeah, we'll check that. We'll look that up and check it. But I didn't. I was poo-pooing the suggestion that it was the same director, and Chad was right, and I was wrong. So
suck on that, Paco.
So big fan of Neil Blomkamp's work, mm-hmm. and particularly of District 9. And so I'm holding it to that standard.
It was basically the same movie, but instead of a shrimp alien, it was a robot.
Right. So right there, I start to have a problem where it's basically the same movie.
Why
are we here?
Why are we doing like the right. Hanna-Barbera thing?
Those prawns in District 9, even on my television set, they're so beautiful to look at. They are so incredible. Just such a gorgeous rendering of an alien life form. By comparison, Chappie is much less interesting. But what we had
How
before...
Dare you? You're on a parenting podcast.
Chappie the character.
And the interesting part of Chappie the character is that you get to see what happens when you essentially involve child development into a robot.
Yes. Boyhood. We all can all remember how I felt watching something grow up on screen.
This was like a third of the time of Boyhood. It wasn't even close to 4 hours.
Listen. It deals with some of the same themes that District 9 deals with. And filmmakers are certainly allowed over the course of their career to keep revisiting certain areas and certain ideas and re-exploring them. I just didn't feel like he took it to another level here. I feel like he took it to a lower level. I was all the more shocked that they left any kind of nudity or chance for an R rating if it was only going to be removing that nudity that did it. Because this seems to me that it's made for 13-year-olds.
Yeah.
As opposed to District 9, which feels like it was made for adults.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't feel like he was telling a story to me. I felt like he was telling someone younger than me.
I think what he is really, really great at is he gets you – that's what I was shocked at. What I was shocked about is I went in expecting a cool shoot 'em up, like a light version. It's like a heavy version of Short Circuit. That's kind of a light version of RoboCop.
But I don't feel – yeah, okay. But from the AI discussion is no more advanced than it was in
But how could you not watch that robot and not be emotionally invested – in what that robot that to me is what I'm like, he hooked me into connecting and feeling empathetic for this freaking CG robot I kept thinking like, wow, this is wildly interesting.
I felt exactly that same way about the prawns,
uh-huh.
and they didn't have the ability to speak, which is a much harder job to hook me in emotionally with these non-speaking alien life forms and have me identify with this alien life form than it is to have the crutch of speech.
Did they do subtitles for the prawns?
I am a little one.
I think Adam's an alien.
So I feel like he was working on. I feel like with District 9, he revealed himself as a writer director to be a master, like a master painter. Mm-hmm. And I feel like with what is the one we're talking about? Chappie,
mm-hmm.
who's the one I don't like again?
Yeah.
He's trying to do a masterpiece with finger paints.
How dare you?
Boom! I had a mic I could drop, I would drop it.
You're not dropping a mic on that.
I am dropping a mic on that. A masterpiece of finger paints. And he falls short for me. And I won't go into any spoilers, but there's some story stuff that I just want to yell about. But I'll do that with you off.
What I also like about what his movies do is that they end in like a... They don't end in like... And we feel like it's closed. Like,
right.
One of the things that I really liked about District 9, and have equally been frustrated with the fact that there isn't a District 10... Is that?
Oh yeah, that's
what, I mean?
Diego was saying. Was like, I want a District 10 so badly.
Yeah, exactly. And
absolutely.
And I feel like he does the same kind of stuff with. I don't remember Elysium how it ended or whatever, but
I couldn't quite either. But here's an interesting thing that came out of it. As much as I may or may not have liked, and I kept my mouth shut with the kids because they were clearly so interested and excited by the ideas and discussing and so on and so forth, and I just kept my mouth shut. I didn't shit on their fun. I mean, they said
you save that for here.
No, well, yeah, but usually we leave and all I do is crank on a thing, or everyone's having a good time and I say, I hate to say what I think. So we do a thing where we go around and you say, what was your favorite part? What was your least favorite part? And we just do a round table. And I'm usually the host of that, and no one bothers asking me what my favorite thing is. That's the truth.
Because they know you don't have one.
Well, no. I often do. But in this case, I I have to ask myself kind of thing. Well, what mine was, because no one else will do it. In any case, in any case, on this occasion,
I wanted to be like, well, I really like the robot and the fighting. I like the underlying theme of like how you could become immortal with the development of technology. Yes. And then just like, just sitting there, silence, just.
So Chad says.
Well, what I thought.
Right. Yeah. Well, it was like that. It was like that. The timing was different. Chad said, what is it? What was your favorite part, Dad? And I had no real response for him. And he said, I guess that's my answer. And there's my moment of the week.
Hilarious.
But they were, even coming out, Chad was saying, he said, in this guy's work, the end is always a rebirth. And I said, that's a really cool idea. I mean, I said, well, how did Elysium end? And then no one could remember. And then I said, but okay, then step back from rebirth. Don't like, commit to that because it may not apply to Elysium. But certainly exploring transformation.
Yes.
Because in Elysium, a human being ends up wearing a metal exoskeleton and he's able to sort of.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
Yeah, sort of. Right, right. But ahead of that, before that. So it just. You know, it just it generated an interesting conversation about theme and about, a person's work, a creative person's work and whatnot. It generated a very interesting conversation regardless of the level to which I wanted to yell.
Now, Natalie, this has not been much of a conversation for you, but you did an excellent job sniping in with some hilarious jokes.
Thanks.
So I feel to reward you for that, I would like to give you some time to talk about your favorite movie, The Devil Wears Prada. Do you have anything you would like to?
I love that movie.
Why do you love that movie?
Oh, gosh. Now you're totally putting me on the spot.
It's
love
what he does.
Well, there's a really cool message behind it. Like, don't let somebody, you know, get you down. Oh, I'm totally on the spot.
I think
spot
what
right
you're
now.
Saying is
don't
that
let somebody get
pigeonhole
you, down.
You and get and
yeah,
make
and
you do something you don't want to
like,
do when you could
craziness.
Study whatever you want and have your parents pay for it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And she worked like that chick worked her ass off.
Yeah.
And regardless of what. She didn't care what this big wig thought or her opinion. She knew what she wanted to do, and she did it.
Yeah.
And I think that's a
this is what
really
I also
strong
love
message,
about my wife.
But I love – I always forget everybody's names. But,
Meryl Streep.
Meryl
Anne
Streep.
Hathaway.
Anne Hathaway.
Anne Hathaway.
Emily Blunt.
Stanley Tucci.
Oh, my gosh.
Stanley
Emily Tucci. Blunt. I love Emily
oh
Blunt.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Listen, she –
they were great.
As many times as you've made me watch that movie as of late, it's been popping up on the, you know, tertiary
it's
HBO channels
a
lot.
Movie. I'm not even a fashion person. Like, I don't even wear, you know, fancy clothes.
And
I'm not into fashion.
You don't
but
have
it's
to love jazz to love Whiplash.
Meryl Streep was just amazing.
Live, Die, Repeat, and The Edge of Tomorrow, which she did. Yes. She is very closely, Emily Blunt is coming very close to edging out Reese Witherspoon as my love interest. Yeah. In
really?
Yeah, she's very.
See,
she's really funny.
I'm not going to bag on her.
That's probably why.
Nobody asked you what you thought, Paco.
She's hot, dear.
We're having
she's hot, and then she's funny.
Right?
I think that's why you like
wait,
her.
Wait, this is
and
Emily
British.
You're talking about?
Because Reese Witherspoon
British.
Is hot. She's kind of funny, but Emily Blunt is very funny. So.
I think Reese Witherspoon is funny in a cute way.
Yeah, but she's funny cute, but Emily's like funny hot.
We have to do this more often because look how uncomfortable he is. Look,
no, listen, listen.
Listen, we've come full circle.
No.
You've made him feel uncomfortable talking about your nudity. And now we've made him feel uncomfortable with
women?
Our appreciation of actresses who I guess do not deserve appreciation.
I'm only uncomfortable
if
in that.
If Angelina Jolie knocked at my door, Paco, I would get naked.
Right. There would be.
Now I'm in. I have no problem with that. Listen.
The lesbian part you're totally fine with. It's just when I watch her bathe on a daily basis, that's uncomfortable.
Well, no one actually invited me to watch her and Angelina Jolie,
fair
but
enough.
I wasn't.
I'll shoot a little moment on my phone and show it to you.
But Reese Witherspoon's not funny.
What?
She's not funny.
Cute, scripted, funny.
Wait,
maybe.
Wait,
yeah.
Reese Witherspoon. Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking of somebody else.
Who?
That other one. The one from Charlie's
call
Angels.
Me an old lady? Yeah.
Charlie's Angels.
Adam's an old lady now.
Cameron
the one
Diaz?
From Charlie's Angels. No, Drew Barrymore. I was thinking of Drew Barrymore.
They're very
different. She's cute, funny. Drew Barrymore's cute.
Go watch Charlie's Angels.
Emily
it's
Blunt's
painful.
Hot.
This has been Paco aging.
Yeah.
There you go.
He didn't cheer and sing. He hated everything. Yes, that was Paco's pick-a-flick.
Oh, yeah. Good times. You could send us an email. Let us know what you think. I know everybody's going to love Natalie being on the show. Send us an email.
Yeah, so don't bother writing about that.
Because I like reading
Sounds
your emails.
Sounds like I got fired earlier.
No, no. They, trust me. Trust me. They love it. It's all in good fun. Now the show is just going to be downhill whenever you're not on.
Yes, they are going to complain. I know that. No, seriously, we have created a monster.
It steps me up a notch. You get me on my toes. You get me fighting. You get me punching. Or it could just be that we're recording during the day and not at the end of my day. But anyway, send us an email. Show at the dad podcast.
And you're not half in the bag.
Don't forget, exactly. I'm very drunk now, though. I usually only have one cocktail. I've had all morning to drink.
Oh, I see.
That's funny.
It means drunk, I think, is what
I've never heard that one.
You never heard of having the bag?
I'm full of things people
I'm about
never
to give you
before.
Half of my bag a little bit later once Paco gets out of here. How's that? Are you comfortable? Look at him. He's turning red. Send your questions for Rachel. We're going to have her in studio beginning of April for her. She's almost a doctor, guys. You can also leave us a voicemail if you call 877-222-8323. A big apology to Sober Sam that I messed up the phone system. It's because I was worried about the internet, and I think it's when the connection dropped out early. Yes.
God bless you, Fred.
Oh, for...
Yeah, we were bagging on Fred for bagging on me. And I'm just saying,
that's probably really George,
Fred.
Though. Let's be honest.
Yeah, I think so.
Give us a like at facebook.com/dadpodcast. I post funny cartoons for parents up there. There's interesting
allegedly.
Articles. I do that now.
No, you do it. They're allegedly funny.
How dare you? They are very funny. They are almost as funny as that fantastic skit I wrote today. At Dad Podcast on Twitter. At Justin Worsham is me on Twitter. At The Real Paco L is you on Twitter. Natalie's not on Twitter. Although I think I made a Twitter handle for you, but it's not. You don't know how to do it.
Natalie
was
the star of that sketch, by the way.
She was great, right?
Yeah, she was.
Nailed it with that. Isn't that funny? Say sugar water, honey.
Sugar water.
No, Eager. As soon as she went, I was like, God damn it.
She was wearing an Eager suit.
I couldn't have gone first, is what I thought. I have to follow that.
Asking for sugar water. Eager.
I love her doing that chick from Men in Black.
Eager. Skin's falling off her bones. Eager. Your skin's falling off your bones.
Paco's on Instagram. Call of Duty. All the spelling for this is in the description. GetJoyRide.com/thedadpodcast if you want to listen, get premium content, and support the show financially. Listen live at MixLR.com/thedadpodcast. If you're not tired of hearing my voice, please check out Justin is Married, Booker is Single. Even if you are tired of it, please subscribe to that show because our download numbers when we join the CBS radio thing, that's what's going to lead to our paycheck. So you can help me out, help me pay the bills. And above anything, please tell three people about the show. They don't have to listen. Just get them to subscribe and get me those downloads because I want to make this the number one show in the kids and family section or category on iTunes. And I'm competing with Sesame Street. So let's kick the shit out of fucking Elmo. Yeah. All right. You're up, Paco.
You will go to the Dad Podcast website and scroll down to the bottom of it because I told you to scroll down to the bottom. You will do it, and you will click through to Amazon after you find the Amazon banner there, and then you will bookmark the Amazon banner. I mean, the Amazon site, of course, is what I mean. And then you will go back every time you go to Amazon. You will click there and buy things, and we will have rejoicing.
So much money coming in from that, by the way, Russian Paco. I really appreciate it.
You mean my voice?
Yes.
Oh, Lord. Okay. Thank you.
On behalf of the beautiful and wonderful contributor to the show, my wife, Natalie. No, not you, Paco. My soon-to-be ex-friend, Paco.
A.K.A. Alien.
This is just my extraterrestrial friend, Paco Dooley, A.K.A. Adam Lancini. See, I'm drunk still.
You are drunk.
This is Justin Worship saying stay frosty, everybody. Thanks for listening.